Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast Open Data Plane, a critical enabling layer for NFV software interoperability and data plane acceleration abstraction. I'm your moderator, Brandon Lewis, with today's speakers, Bob Monkman of ARM and Bill Fischhofer of the Linaro Networking Group. Today's schedule consists of roughly 50 minutes of presentation with an additional 10 minutes for audience Q&A at the end of the hour. But before we begin, there are a few housekeeping items to address, beginning with the features of your viewing console. The Enlarge Slides button will maximize the presentation slides to fill your entire screen. Second, the Download Slides button will allow you to download and print the slides if you prefer to follow along with a hard copy. Next, the Forward to a Friend button enables you to send an email that includes a registration link to this eCast so that friends and colleagues can also attend. The Ask a Question text box allows you to participate in the event by simply typing your question into the box and hitting the Submit Question button below. You can submit questions at any time during the course of the presentation, and we encourage you to do so early and often while reviewing the material. We will address as many of these questions as possible during the closing Q&A, and also if you have questions regarding the eCast operation itself, you can submit those as well, and one of our technicians will be happy to assist you. Now, to better introduce our speakers, Bob Monkman, Networking Segment Marketing Manager at ARM, is part of the company's Enterprise Segment Marketing Team, located in San Jose, California. That group is focused on enterprise networking and software initiatives for the enterprise segment, such as the Linaro Networking Group, where he sits on the steering committee, the ETSI NFV Industry Specification Group, and the Open Platform for NFV Initiative. Bob holds a BSEE from the University of Illinois. Our second speaker is Bill Fischhofer, Senior Software Engineer at the Linaro Networking Group. Bill has over 25 years of experience in the IT sector, working on everything from IBM mainframe systems to ASICs. He joined the Linaro Networking Group in September of 2013 after having worked at several public and private companies in the network architecture and data plane firmware over the previous decade. He is currently the Linaro Networking Group technical lead for the Open Data Plane project. Let's start off with you, Bob.
Very good. Thank you, Brandon. And so let's go ahead and jump right into it. I've been, as you mentioned, I've been involved in the Open Data Plane initiative right from the beginning. And we really do see this as an emerging standard for common interfaces to the networking data plane. So let me jump right into the agenda, give you an idea of what you're going to hear about today. The first thing I'm going to do is give everyone a sort of a high-level overview of what Open Data Plane is and why the project was created, why it's needed. And then we're going to switch over to Bill, and Bill's going to give us a technical deep dive on, you know, what are the APIs and how are they used, and a little bit more about the project and where we're at. We're going to jump back to me, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, how people can transition applications to the new interface. We'll talk about where does ODP fit in network function virtualization, and where is the project going in the future, and then we'll wrap it up and go to questions. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and just jump right into the first slide. So what is Open Data Plane? So it's both an initiative and an open source project and a portal. So Open Data Plane, or ODP for short, is an API with a reference implementation provided in the project just as a starting point. And it enables SOC vendors and others to optimize a unique implementation under the common API layer. And it allows application developers to have a common interface, as we've said, to the underlying network silicon. It's an open contribution, open source project directed by a cross-section of industry stakeholders, which we'll talk about more in a later slide. And again, it's important to note that ODP is not a single instantiation of code, one size fits all. Again, it's really... It's analogous to the proven OpenGL model, which has been very successful for realizing a common interface to cross-vendor support of graphics libraries and related accelerators. And so the point here is that to give networking application developers, both from within OEMs and ISVs, the application portability they need while still leveraging the underlying silicon and software innovation available from multiple vendors. So that's the idea. And it's currently focused on packet processing applications in the network data plane, but we can clearly see where this concept can be extended to a number of other different use cases. And, of course, you know, as most of the applications that we see today in the data plane will run in Linux user space with, you know, little or no, you know, system overhead, but certainly we have to be able to support both, you know, sort of bare metal environments and virtualized environments, so we'll talk a little bit about that as we go through. So ODP has two main perspectives that I wanted to convey today. On one hand, you have the perspective of the application developer, and on the other, you have the SoC system vendor. Now, the goal from the application developer's perspective is to provide a framework that allows applications to easily move across different platforms while transparently taking advantage of, you know, the underlying hardware offload capabilities and acceleration capabilities. And the result is an application written to the ODP APIs can effectively run on any platform that offers an ODP implementation with a simple recompile. And so writing applications to ODP offers applications the widest range of target platforms at the various price and performance points to optimize the market reach of that application. If we look at it from the SoC vendor's perspective, the advantage of offering ODP implementations is really twofold. First of all, it's going to enable any ODP application to run on that platform without application developers having to be an expert necessarily in all the intricacies of that platform. It can get pretty complex, and so it can, you know, when the APIs are really about common functions and can be greatly simplified in a generalized application interface. And secondly, it allows the vendor to provide an optimized implementation underneath those APIs that can be leveraged, that can leverage all of the innovation underneath across multiple applications running on that platform. And so the result here is that an SoC vendor can really compete for any socket without having to overcome customer application developer objections about migrating and the hurdles of porting all that code. And so again, application can simply be recompiled and will immediately run on that platform, taking full advantage of the innovation unique to that platform. Now, one of the most important takeaways for you today is the fact that ODP is really the only project focused on this sort of problem of networking silicon abstraction that has a critical mass of representative stakeholders from the networking SoC vendors, from the networking OEMs, and the networking ISVs sitting together at the table, competitors and partners alike, sharing in the design, the influence with a vote, you know, to arrive at the optimal solution built in to this open collaboration. This is hugely important. If you're going to attempt to drive a new standard amongst users and suppliers in this segment, you have to bring a representative set of stakeholders together to have a hope of having something that people can buy into and get behind in the entire supply chain. I mean, otherwise, if you have something that's really just driven by one vendor or a couple of vendors and a partner or two that's doesn't have, you know, the people that need to support it in the group, you end up fully baking something behind the scenes and then hoping to sort of get the industry to adopt it later, and that's very difficult. So when this consortium of stakeholders noted above here got together under the Linaro Networking Group, the charter members, you know, sort of surveyed the open source landscape, and the consensus was there wasn't an existing project that met all of the technical and sort of operational requirements, such as having all the cross-section of stakeholders involved. and there wasn't any industry-wide group head who had previously sanctioned any common interface, you know, across a diverse range of silicon solutions. And also, you know, the charter members felt like, again, there was really no, it wasn't ideal, one-size-fits-all kind of way to go here. So we decided that we would kind of follow that OpenGL model where you have a software API layer at a higher level of abstraction that can offer the, you know, the flexibility of implementations underneath that suit the diverse needs of different, you know, silicon implementations. And so that was a good analogy for what guided this team in architecting ODP. Some of the requirements that, from a technical standpoint, that the stakeholders from the beginning saw as essential are listed here. You know, I'm not going to read them all, but I think I want to call special attention to the notion that we felt that it was absolutely critical that we provide enough abstraction of the interface according to application use cases and not implementation details. And we also felt that it was hugely important that we neither prescribe or preclude any underlying hardware or software implementation by exposing too much of that detail in the API. And we even went so far as to make sure that we use like abstract data types in the APIs to make sure that we didn't, you know, put too much dependencies into those APIs. And so this was really deemed critical right from the beginning. And we knew that it would make sense to also leverage the concepts, if not much of the code, that the various vendors had optimized in their runtime environments or SDKs that they had developed over the years to take full advantage of the underlying hardware. So, you know, we wanted to, again, abstract those without having to have specific knowledge of the details underneath. You know, and if we look historically at some of those vendor-optimized networking SDKs, over the years, here's a set of silicon vendors who had introduced various implementations of runtime environments or SDKs and utilized those to really offer developers a way to program these environments. And each one of these was really designed and highly optimized for that specific vendor's silicon that they were intended for. Now, since then, you know, these have evolved, of course. They've taken different forms, and they've been carried forward. They still support the older SoCs, but also in the current SoCs of those different architectures. But some of them have been adapted and moved forward to supporting ARM-based SoCs. And in particular, the DPDK initiative that was initially driven by Intel was the source code for that was published on dpdk.org in April of 2013, and now there's different companies participating on that. So some of these have evolved, but again, the idea behind Open Data Plane was really to provide a little bit of a layer of abstraction on top of these. And so really what you end up with is what we're delivering with Open Data Plane is a standardized, what we view as something that can become a standardized data plane API to enable networking applications to run across most silicon on any architecture. And we've demonstrably built support for ARM architecture, x86 architecture, MIPS, and power architectures through the member companies who have participated in the project. And all through this process, we've structured this to enable the innovation to shine through. It's a lightweight abstraction that preserves the performance without prescribing the lower level, you know, sort of processing structure of the code or the approach taken. It allows you to get access and management of hardware accelerators, and really the vendor runtime environments that are still leveraged in most cases sit underneath the ODP API. So we're really, ODP is embracing and extending those existing investments, but giving you a truly, you know, cross-platform, standardized programming interface to leverage that platform's unique capability. Now, graphically, here's a real simplistic way of depicting how these implementations should be viewed. So again, back to that sort of embrace and extend description that we made earlier, we leverage those individual implementations that have been done for each SoC across different architectures. And we know today of at least 10 or so implementations to date of ODP on different platforms. And so the idea here is, again, you have this ODP layer on top. It's a thin layer. And underneath, you leverage the existing optimizations that can be done. And from the application standpoint, everyone sees the same sets of interfaces. All right, so that's just a little bit of rundown of the initial overview of ODP. You know, how should you view it, you know, conceptually. I want to turn it over to Bill now, and Bill's going to go into a deeper dive and cover some of the technical aspects of the project. Bill?
Thank you, Bob. So one of the things I'd like to talk about today is why some of the rationale behind the design decisions behind ODP and what the APIs offer, just to sort of give a flavor of that. Most networking applications are examples of what are called embarrassingly parallel problems. That is, applications that can be divided into an essentially unlimited number of parts. When you think about networking where a switch or a router is processing packets relating to flows, you can have many, many flows operating in parallel, and these are natural for very good scale out. So one of the main design goals of ODP was to provide a scheduling framework that naturally allows applications to scale out to whatever number of processing cores are available without having to redesign the application to run on an increasing number of cores. This permits applications to target a wide range of price performance points to best address various market segments and optimize there for various modern design goals, such as throughput per watt or per square millimeter of die area. Now, the way ODP achieves this is by defining abstract APIs that strongly separate the application view from the implementation model used by any given embodiment of ODP. This means that ODP implementations are free to map ODP APIs directly to underlying hardware, offload and acceleration capabilities, so that applications enjoy vendor-optimized performance on each platform without sacrificing portability. Essentially, the APIs allow applications to say what functions need to be performed while leaving the question of how that function is to be realized in each implementation. So speaking of accelerators, one of the large part of the value add provided by ARM's partners is the differentiated IP that is embodied in each of their SoC platforms. This takes the form of traffic managers, workload schedulers, et cetera, as well as specialized hardware offload capabilities to accelerate things like baseband processing and cryptography. This differentiation allows different market segments to be effectively targeted. However, the challenge has been how to enable these capabilities to be taken advantage of by applications without extensive redesign and rewrite. So ODP API abstractions address this by defining the functional level of the API without specifying the implementation model behind it. This gives vendors the freedom to innovate while still allowing applications to move between ODP implementations as business needs dictate. So if we take a look at some of the ODP APIs, they're organized into groups, and these are functionally organized into these categories, which represent the types of processing most commonly needed by data plane applications, as well as those most often found in accelerated form on various SoC platforms. For example, cryptography is typically very slow to perform software. However, various SoCs have their own unique interface requirements for accessing their hardware crypto capabilities. By providing a common abstract API for crypto, ODP allows applications to access this vendor-specific hardware without requiring redesign or recoding. To take another example, another key abstraction that ODP provides is queue-based event model. This enables ODP applications to run on platforms that support both traditional shared memory and NUMA-style processing which is increasingly common as network speeds increase. The combination of events queues and the scheduler are what permit scale out across a wide range of processing architectures and configurations. And finally, just to take a look at a third example, a unique feature of many data plane applications is their need for a very large number of concurrent timers, often in the millions. So ODP timer APIs are designed to provide a very lightweight access to timing capabilities of importance to the data plane while permitting individual platforms to map these directly to their underlying timer hardware blocks. So it's all part of the same common theme of providing abstraction without restricting the ability to innovate on the part of implementations. So if we look at this in a specific context and to see how this fits together, let's take an example of an IPsec gateway. The path from ingress to egress involves several logical processing steps. A packet is received and classified and recognized as an IPsec packet needing decryption. The various packets in the flow can be decrypted in parallel using an ordered queue to preserve their actual arrival order for subsequent processing. So this is all, again, part of the abstraction that many hardware provides where they allow processing to be scattered out across a wide variety of resources and then, while still preserving order, to give end-to-end packet order integrity. And this is encompassed in the ODP abstraction of ordered queues. Once decrypted, packets can be routed to various other processing stages for route lookup, et cetera, and then queued for re-encryption prior to transmission on an egress interface. So that's basically how a single packet would flow through the system, but to see how that would work in an overall system, we can take a look at this diagram, which shows an example of how scale-out works. So the ODP application itself is designed around a simple run-to-completion thread model, where each thread simply calls the scheduler to obtain work, does whatever application processing is required, and then enqueues the work for subsequent processing. The scheduler can distribute work across many such threads running in parallel to take advantage of the processing cores that are available to the application. In this manner, the application can scale from a handful to many cores without redesign. We want to take a quick look at the history of the project. ODP has been under development since late 2013, although the initial design discussions started shortly after the Linaro Networking Group was formed in early 2013. Throughout 2014, there were several point releases that enabled feedback as development progressed. One of the main features of ODP being that it includes an open source CUNET-based framework that was added last year. This enables ODP implementations to verify that they conform to the ODP API specification. ODP follows a self-certifying model that simply provides the tools that enable vendors and application writers to verify that various implementations provide the needed level of compatibility to a given level of the ODP API specification. In March of this year, ODP 1.0 was announced. This milestone indicated that the API set was functionally complete and stable enough to permit a wide range of data plane applications to be developed using ODP. And those are, in fact, being done by a lot of the member partners within LNG right now. Throughout 2015, these APIs will continue to be refined and extended with the goal of releasing a version of ODP suitable for production application deployment by end of year. So that basically covers a quick overview of some of the ODP API features and why they exist. So back to you, Bob.
Thanks very much, Bill. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how developers can transition, to these new PIs. Now, you know, naturally, as I think we mentioned before, but I'll just restate it. Today, there's really application developers have a myriad of different ways to interface to the underlying platform. There's vendor SDKs. Some people have, for their middleware, their own applications have created their own hardware abstraction layers. There's different kernel libraries that you can use for different things. Standard APIs that in the kernel that have been modified for different use in networking and FastPath and so forth. So there's lots of different ways to do it. But ultimately, when you have to touch the hardware, there's just what we're trying to really do here is get to a common interface to these hardware platforms. And so naturally, there's going to be some migration required to future-proof applications moving forward. But we think if people will take that step, the rewards are really going to be compelling. I mean, first of all, again, you're going to gain access to the full power of the underlying software and hardware innovation and optimizations and accelerators that have been put underneath those APIs. And you're going to be able to do that in a portable way. So, I mean, once you have an application that adheres to the ODP APIs, you instantly have access to a growing choice of optimized ODP implementations. And, like we mentioned earlier, I mean, we already know of about 10 different implementations or so, and over the months and the years coming, we expect dozens to emerge, right? And so it gives a lot of choice, and that's the whole point here. And, it is in fact the case that the ODP project team and the contributors to the project working outside of the core Lenoir networking group are doing things to help make that easier, right? I mean, as I said, many of these member companies and non-member companies have, done their implementations. They continue to optimize them, and that work will be ongoing, right? And then, we have done a lot of work to maintain and continue to maintain an optimized low overhead integration layer on top of DPDK. So people who have applications that leverage DPDK can leverage that code and that optimization that's been done and get to an ODP implementation on top of that. We're working on implementation guides for people who have networking silicon and other related hardware and accelerators so they can adhere to these APIs and do these implementations. And we're working on migration documents that will help application developers make that transition across. If we wanted to take a little bit of a graphical look at how that might come to be, we can take a look here. In this simple case here, you have a legacy interface application that today, let's say, is using a legacy vendor API directly to some optimized SDK down there. So, what we're saying here is that on a vendor optimized platform with ODP APIs, you're going to get the best value, the best portability moving forward, and the SOC vendor is really going to be the one who's tasked with doing that optimized ODP implementation, so you don't have to worry about that. They're going to give you better abstraction of the underlying software and hardware. That could lead to a much simpler, interface for the application layer. And, if you have new applications, you just go right to the new ODP APIs. But if you've got these legacy applications, then you just, really just migrate those legacy interfaces to the hardware to use the ODP equivalent, right? And so these are very straightforward interfaces as well. I mean, we're talking about, get a packet, send a packet, get a buffer, so on and so forth. And of course, the hardware accelerator ones might be a little bit more complicated, but you're not going to be unfamiliar with these interfaces. And again, once you make that transition, then you're instantly, have access to all the optimization and innovation underneath, and you have really an application that is available and instantly really on a growing choice of optimized silicon platforms. So, we definitely think it's going to be well worth the effort to do that. If we take a look at the very specific DPDK example, and I'm sorry we're having a little bit of trouble with our fonts here, so things got a bit crowded. But it's really no different, right? Except for the Linaro team today is maintaining that ODP DPDK integration layer for you. And that is a thin layer, highly optimized. We'll continue to work on optimizing that and make sure that it's, you know, it gives you as low overhead as possible to get to be able to leverage the DPDK implementation underneath. And then if you want to extend that layer, you know, it's going to be provided in source, of course, open source, and so you can add other specific acceleration integrations as you see fit using the ODP APIs. And again, you know, new APIs, new applications can go right to the ODP APIs directly, and these legacy ones can just do the migration to use the slightly abstracted ODP equivalents. And again, the payoff is that you broaden your abstraction of hardware acceleration in this case, because we've standardized a lot of that and we'll continue to add more, and you have instant access to a growing choice of additional platforms for the application if you do this this one-time migration. So, and you know, and as I said, I think generally speaking, we believe that the interface to the hardware will generally be simpler as well as being more portable for you in the future. So how does ODP fit in with network function virtualization? So those familiar with the NFE initiative will recognize, you know, the ETSI NFE ISG or Industry Standard Group. That's where the specifications for the architecture and the interfaces are being developed. And you'll also be familiar with probably the Open Platform for NFE project, otherwise known as OPNFE. That's an open source collaboration project run under the Linux Foundation, where you have 50 plus companies working together to integrate and harden the relevant open source building blocks that the industry believes are really the key components for realizing the NFE vision. So ARM and many of the ODP stakeholders have been very active in both initiatives, and ODP is definitely recognized in both as an important building block and an important upstream project for realizing that NFV vision. As a matter of fact, you know, the whole subject of data plane acceleration abstraction has become a very hot topic of focus and a high interest in both initiatives. And you'll also know that the NFE architecture absolutely defines a layered architecture and is working currently in the phase two efforts to do a lot of refinement work on specifications for the interfaces between those layers. And, you know, we believe that NFE actually even makes this idea of portability and well-defined interfaces even more important, as well as the data plane acceleration. In addition to that, there's been a number of official ETSI proof of concepts or POCs that have been done and submitted, as well as a number of private POCs built by the ecosystem that demonstrate how, you know, workload-optimized, highly integrated SoCs will fit into the NFV vision and how ODP helps deliver that application portability as well as leveraging the optimal performance and scalability that we think NFV applications are certainly going to require. So that's an ongoing process. And in particular, within OpenNFE, I mentioned it earlier, I touched on it, the Data Plane Acceleration Project. Certainly we think that's going to be a forum where the value of ODP will be demonstrably showcased. Once we get through the requirements phase and we start actually building you know, implementations to test out some of the concepts that are currently being discussed and debated within that project. So that's going to be really exciting, and we're very confident that that ODP will show some tremendous value in that initiative. And also we think that we'll be making a contribution for sure to the Open vSwitch Performance Characterization Project. If you're familiar with that one, that'll come in the not-too-distant future. and in general, ODP and ARM-based build will become part of the regular build and deliverables of OPNFE beginning in the second half of this year. So we're really excited about that. So let's take a look. So what are the sort of the future plans for ODP? I mean, Bill touched a little bit on this earlier. You know, the planning activity is always going on within the Linaro Networking Group. And again, you know, the LNG group is the 12 or 13 companies that are currently in that group are really driving the priorities, but we're getting a lot of input and feedback from non-member companies. It is a very much an open project and with other non-member companies participating on the list. And so, you know, we think 2015 is, we've got this 1.0 release, as we said. We're working towards, it by the end of the year, a 2.0 deployment-ready release. So we're going to be getting developer feedback. We're going to be characterizing performance, and we're going to be optimizing a lot during this year and building more proof points. You're going to see these at events throughout the industry. We're going to continue to optimize the ODP-DPDK integration layer. There's probably going to be some new work on new APIs. There's a lot of ideas out there. We've listed a couple of them here. I think one of the things that we haven't mentioned is there's a lot of interest in as well in terms of developing some compliance testing. So that's under discussion as well. But we absolutely believe that, you know, working collaboratively in the community through projects like OPNFE are going to help us to solidify and prioritize some of the requirements. So, you know, as we mentioned, the Data Plane Acceleration Project, known as DPACC, is really looking really hard right now at how VNFs, or virtual network functions, in the NFV architecture and concepts will access hardware accelerators consistently from within virtualization constructs like virtual machines and containers and so forth. So that's very much, you know, in flux right now. Lots of interesting discussions and concepts being debated in that project. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But we certainly expect ODP to provide or be featured prominently in solutions moving forward. So how do you get involved in the Open Data Plane project? Well, again, it's completely open, right? If you go to www.opendataplane.org, we've got the documentation there. We've got information for how to join the mailing list there. Everyone is free to join the mailing list. Here's the public one, LNG-ODP. The project calls every Tuesday at 1500 UTC time zone are open to everybody. So if you go to the site and get the information on the call-in info, you can join those calls. You can listen in, and again, the code is up there as well. We've got a Git repository of 1.0 up there, and as we publish new releases, we update that. And so we not only welcome feedback. We need it and we want it, and so it's very important to. We want you to join the mailing list. We want you to join the project calls and download the code. Give us feedback because again, we've got a great critical mass right now, but we need to open this up to the whole NFE community and the networking community at large. And it's available, so please join us and contribute to realize the vision for this because it's super important. So what did we learn today? You know, hopefully you got a real good sense of what ODP is, and I think that you'll agree with us that, you know, because of the involvement of a cross-section of stakeholders from OEMs, ISVs, SoC vendors who are working together to build this solution and make sure that everyone's got the buy-in from it, you can see that it's really the most promising way forward to a broad consensus interface to data plane hardware. And it is going to deliver, it does deliver application portability while leveraging the maximum optimization and supporting superior scaling of many core designs. There's lots of benefits beyond just portability here, but actually accessing and leveraging all that innovation underneath. And it's very, very well suited for for many core designs. So it's a tremendously valuable project, and it's we think that OpenNFV is another promising forum for advising the project and helping us move it forward, testing use cases, and really hardening it for deployment. So we're looking forward to a lot of involvement in that community. But I want to emphasize that ODP 1.0, which was just finalized in March, is really just the tip of the iceberg. We think that this can actually apply to a lot of different environments, a lot of different hardware interfaces beyond the data plane. So come to the portal, sign up, join us, and help us realize that full potential. We'd love to have you participating. So that concludes the overview of ODP. Today I'm going to turn it back over to Brandon to help facilitate the Q&A session. We've got a good 18 minutes or more for questions, so we're looking forward to getting into that and trying to answer your questions as best we can. Brandon?
Great. Thanks a lot, Bob. And you as well, Bill, for some good perspective there on the Open Data Plane for NFV. And as Bob mentioned, that brings us into the Q&A portion of our event. We've got some great questions here. We asked you guys to keep those coming, so we'll try and get it to as many of them as we can in the next 15, 20 minutes here. Bob, here's a question. What do you think constitutes critical mass in terms of multi-vendor hardware support, and when do you anticipate support from high-volume data plane hardware vendors? Including vSwitch support.
Okay, so I guess there's two parts in there. So
right.
Yeah, it's kind of subjective, right, in terms of what constitutes critical mass. But you know we've got, let's see, I guess we've got about 7 SoC vendors involved in the project directly as part of LNG, and several others that are involved indirectly and participating from outside the project. So right there, I mean, that's one of the most important things, because since you're going to be abstracting multi-vendor hardware, you really, I mean, we've got right there, right in the project, 70% easily, but it depends on what your count is of who is really the primary sort of networking SoC vendors. But we've got a really good number there of people, over 10 really involved. So that's important, and we also think it's really important, as I mentioned, that you've got OEMs there as well, and you've got ISVs, folks like Enea, for example, and Montevista, who are involved, and other people who are contributing, like Tieto and Ericsson. So you've got, when you have ISVs, part of the different parts and different perspectives of the supply chain, when you get a certain number of those together, that's more than half of the representative ecosystem in terms of the SoCs, and that's a good representation there. In terms of when do we anticipate support from data plane, high volume data plane hardware vendors, including vSwitch support? So vSwitch support, yeah, I'm not really sure. What is meant necessarily by high-volume data plane hardware vendors. The members of this project today are pretty much the incumbents in the data plane space, so I'm not really sure what's meant there. But vSwitch support in particular is an area that we've been working on. We did a demonstration in Hong Kong at the Linaro Connect of some integration of vSwitch optimized with ODP. We'd only really worked on it for a few weeks at that time, so it's just kind of getting started and getting incubated. That was in February. And so we anticipate that in the second half we'll have some things to show. And I mentioned it in the presentation that we're going to be making a contribution pretty soon into the Open vSwitch performance characterization project. So that's hugely important. And if by high volume hardware vendors you're referring to Intel, Intel is actually involved in the project now as a result of acquiring one of the ARM licensees, the guys who make the Axia chip from Avago Technologies. And so We actually have some involvement and presence in the project that's just underway from the Wind River guys. Hopefully that answers that question.
Great. Here's kind of a follow-up here. You mentioned Intel. What other OSC vendors have an ODP implementation right now?
So, I mean, I really only want to enumerate the folks who have really been public and talked about it publicly and demonstrated publicly. I'd leave it to the others to ask your SoC vendor, but, you know, it's pretty well known that AMD, Freescale, Cavium, let's see, who else? I'm trying to think of there was a fourth one that I can't quite recall. But certainly, Freescale, Cavium, Texas Instruments, that was the other one I was thinking about, and AMD have publicly discussed or announced or demonstrated their implementations. And I said there's probably about 10, at least out there, that we know of. So, but I'm not sure if they've all made theirs public. So I would rather you ask your provider, hey, do you have an ODP implementation and what's the status?
Great. Thanks for that. Bill, here's a question for you. For ODP to be portable, this means that the Data Plane Acceleration Project should expose the same APIs as Open Data Plane. Can you comment on how Open Data Plane will be portable in NFE environments at all?
Sure. Well, the NFE project has much broader goals than ODP. ODP is one component of an overall NFE strategy. If you look at the NFV architecture diagrams, most of the work that they are doing is in the orchestration and management layers, and then they divide things down into different types of silos for compute, for storage, for networking. So within the networking stack of NFV, we essentially view ODP as a key enabling layer for portable applications in the data plane. The DPACC project itself, which Bob alluded to, is one that we are involved with and are following closely. They are currently in their requirements phase, which is expected to go through the end of the second quarter, in which they are basically building a use model case for areas that they want to focus on. And then we'll be moving into prototypes of that by the end of the year. So we anticipate having ODP be part of those prototypes and demonstrations, and how that will relate into actual deliverables from the DPACC project is something that's still under discussion within that group. But
yeah,
they are very much aware of us.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Bill, I think there's been some – it's not really clear exactly what's going to be exposed to the VNFs. There's definitely going to be a need to – it's pretty clear that people are gravitating towards some sort of virtualized driver, kind of two-part type of driver, where there's sort of a front end and a back end, I think, is where we see a critical mass of discussion going. And I'm not – so ODP will be very important in terms of abstracting the underlying hardware, but you know, there's going to be ways to interface to both ODP and DPDK, for example, I think, with these mechanisms. And it's just not clear yet how – I think it's going to be some sort of a layered approach, and I don't know exactly – it's too early to really say exactly how it's going to look in the end from the VNF, but stay tuned on that.
All right, Bill, here's another one coming your way. What's the impact of introducing an ODP API? For example, what are the results of using a vendor API with an ODP API?
So ODP was potentially designed to be a framework rather than an environment. And by that we mean that it is something that is enabling an application to make use of this but does not require it. So if you have an existing application, and most applications are existing, ODP has been designed so that its API usage can be introduced on an incremental basis. So there's no requirement for you to immediately abandon all use of current, you know, direct SDK calls if that's what your application is using. with the understanding that, you know, to the extent that the application is pure ODP, to that extent it will be more easily portable to other ODP platforms. So it's really up to the individual application to determine the timing and the pacing with which it transitions from vendor-specific SDK calls or direct calls to interfaces to hardware to equivalent APIs provided by ODP.
All right, here's one for you, Bob, and then Bill, you might be able to pepper in something on this as well. What type of interoperability or testing has there been done using other SDN projects like Open Daylight, Open vSwitch, et cetera? Do you have any relationship with those organizations at all?
I think I can handle that.
Go ahead, Bill. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been in close contact with Open Daylight from the outset. In fact, they're a very complementary project in the sense that Open Daylight is focused on a standardized control plane interfaces, whereas Open Data Plane is obviously focused on standardized data plane interfaces. So we in fact demonstrated last year at one of the Linaro Connects ODP talking an ODP enabled Open vSwitch talking to Open Data Plane and getting rule updates. So we very much anticipate, you know, in an environment where Open Daylight exists, ODP based applications would interoperate with it very easily.
Bill, I think you meant to say interfacing with Open Daylight. You sort of
Daylight. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as Bob mentioned, we've also demonstrated, working with Open vSwitch. So, in fact, that is a current project of getting Open vSwitch, optimized for, working on ODP so that it can see the cross-platform acceleration capabilities that the underlying SSC platforms provide.
Right, and one thing I would just add to that, Brandon, is that, you know, Open Daylight and Open vSwitch are actually two components of initial early, stacks that are being built by the Open Platform for NFV project, and so you're going to see those, sort of builds and tests on those platforms. On ARM-based platforms with ODP as a part of that project moving forward, and then as we find issues and gaps, we'll be reporting, as is the case in the process that OpenNFE works in. We feed those gap analysis and input into those upstream projects and making sure that everything works together. So,
great. All right, we still have 7 or 8 minutes left. I just want to remind the audience to keep asking those questions. We got several more, but just keep them coming in, and the ones we don't get to, we'll make sure that a sponsor is able to reach out to you after the event. Here's a question for you, Bob. How is ODP licensed? Can you explain that a bit?
Yeah, it is actually licensed under BSD Clause 3, and I'm going to actually let Bill expand on that.
Sure.
He's better at covering that than I am, but it's a very friendly open source license.
Yeah, so basically what a BSD license says is that you're free to use ODP for any commercial or non-commercial purpose, royalty free. So it's about as open as you can get. All of the collateral related to ODP that is being produced by the Linaro Networking Group is fully open source. That includes the APIs, all of the test suites, the reference implementations that we offer, which is basically a generic one that will run on any Linux platform for functional demonstration, as well as the optimized ODP DPDK interface that Bob alluded to. That's all fully open source, open contribution. It's up to individual vendors to determine how they wish to make their particular implementations of ODP available. Some have chosen to be open source, others are closed source. ODP does not specify which is is required. So pretty very flexible.
Another one for you, Bill. Do you anticipate any OpenGL shading license-like capability that enables programmability of data plane hardware at any point in the future?
Well, that is interesting. In fact, one of the demonstration projects that Cisco, in fact, was showing at the last Linaro Connect in Hong Kong was some early prototype work of trying to accelerate some of the ODP platforms using OpenCL, taking advantage of GPU. These are very early experiments. They're sort of promising, but it's a sort of innovation that we can expect with an open source project where there's an awful lot of bright people around the world, and they will come up with very interesting ways of making the product better for everyone. So we have no specific plans right now, but as I said, the day is still very young in ODP.
Great. All right, Bob. When do you expect performance metrics to be available for ODP platforms, any of them?
Well, I mean, I think that generally speaking, it will be up to the we'll do some performance characterization in the ODP project now that we've got 1.0 out the door. I think much of it will be up to the individual SoC vendors who have done implementations to release some of the numbers, but we know that they have been doing some performance characterization behind the scenes. And, I think in the early in the second half is when I would anticipate, since we just got the ODP 1.0 release out, and folks are going to be doing some additional work on that, and frankly, also some of the latest and greatest silicon that they'd like to show off is just coming out in some cases. So I'd say early in the second half is when we'll begin to really see some hard numbers. I've definitely seen some very, very promising numbers already from some of the early internal testing from some of the folks, but I think largely they'll want to control how those numbers are published. So, again, I would encourage folks to talk to their SoC supplier and find out when they might be able to show some numbers.
Great. All right, time for a couple more questions here. Is there a way to measure ODP code coverage? And if so, how do you do that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, one of the things that LNG does is we have a regression lab that is we follow a continuous integration model, and so there are nightly runs which do all sorts of testing on the current ODP code base, including coverage metrics, and those are all linked directly from the ODP website. So if you go to opendataplane.org, you can find that information. It's basically at most 24 hours old, and I believe right now we are currently in the high 90% of code coverage on all of the APIs that are published for 1.0.
Excellent. Here's one more for you, Bill. How do you compile ODP with modified C flags? Is there a way to do that?
Yes. So the specifics for each vendor's implementation is controlled by them since it's open source. However, the model that we've been using for the reference implementations that are coming out of LNG are all based on the standard GNU Auto Tools package, and so there's a configure script as well as build scripts that all support the ability to pass in different C flags, et cetera, typically for optimizations or for different types of warning suppressions. So that's all available and described in the included README files.
Great. All right. Well, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of our time today. I want to thank Bob Monkman of ARM and Bill Fischoffer of Linaro Networking Group for some great insight on Open Data Plane and NFV in general. We at Open Systems and ARM would like to thank you, the audience, for attending today and contributing some excellent questions remotely. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast will be made available there as well. You can do a web search with the keywords embedded space e-cast and find all of Open Systems Media's e-casts available for download as MP3s there. Thank you again for attending, and have a great day.